yesterday on the difference of tone and the sense of confrontation that begins. Jesus entered Jerusalem amid a great reception, purposely choosing for himself to enter riding on a donkey to fulfill and allude to the prophecies of Zechariah. And then he left, went out to Bethany. The next day he came and saw a fig tree. There was no fruit on it, and he cursed it. Now we're starting to get this notion of what the Lord is looking for and the terrible consequences of disobedience. And so he went in to the temple, and then Peter sees the fig tree shriveled, and Jesus gives teaching on the fruitlessness of clinging to your own observances when the Lord is starting something new. And here, you see, the religion we're talking about is one. It has its preparatory and its fulfilled stage. I would say partially fulfilled stage, because the goal of our faith is heaven. And so we have the means. In Judaism, they only knew of the coming of those means. We have the means of achieving eternal life, which is union with our Lord, who is the new temple and forms us into a temple. And so he goes back to Bethany. Now today, we begin this section where Jesus comes once again into the temple, and he will stay in this temple up until the very first verse of chapter 13, where he leaves the temple forever. And so, in this period, we have all these different conflicts, which Mark has strung together this way to give us theological teaching about the relationship between Jesus Christ, the risen, eternal Son of God, and the preparatory stage, and our own stage. So today, we have this question about his authority. This is followed there in the temple with the parable of the wicked tenants who kill everybody sent to them in order that they can inherit the vineyard. The vineyard, of course, is Israel. That's in the Psalm, it's in Isaiah 5 and so forth. And then the conflict in regard to taxes to Caesar, where Jesus clearly distinguishes between the rulers of this world and God. And so, you see, this is the great Muslim problem today. What is Sharia? And can they live in a democracy? Do they have to run everything? Is there a realm of Caesar and a realm of God? Jesus cut right through that with that response. The conclusion of which is, give to God what is God's. Well, you are God's. You belong to God. The fathers of the church delighted pointing out, whose image is this? Well, then give it to the one whose image it is. Well, whose image are you? Then give yourself to God. And then, so that introduces the civil law does not have to measure up. It just has to protect and not contradict. See, that's the mess we're in now, where the civil law is in flagrant disobedience to God. You don't have to be Christian to understand that abortion is a horrid thing. You don't have to be a Christian to understand total perversion of God's plan revealed in nature regarding marriage. Now, there's been a very clever move on the part of those who wish to introduce this by saying, see, that's Catholic teaching. My friends, abortion, same-sex marriage, embryonic research, to be against those things, this is not Catholic teaching. This is Catholic witness to the very realities that God has put in nature. Are you saying, you know, Catholics can't have abortions, but Protestants can? Or Hindus can? Of course not. What we are witnessing to in these regards is the very structure of nature. It's wrong and it is sinful for anyone to have an abortion or to experiment on embryos or to have homosexual unions. It's wrong in the very structure of nature. That's got nothing to do. But render to God what is God's. But to Caesar, yes, pay your taxes and do that, yes. But don't give to Caesar what only God deserves, namely obedience in the very structure of your nature. And then, of course, for those of us who are privileged, we know the incarnation, the resurrection, the Eucharist, Mary, the Church. See, that's Catholic teaching. But abortion, same-sex marriage, embryonic research, that's not Catholic teaching. That's rooted and grounded in the very structure of the human being. That's an important distinction our Lord introduces there. And then the question of the resurrection of the dead. The real future of the human being. That'll be all, these will all be next week, huh? Then the question about David's son. So who is the Messiah really? He's the Lord of David. And then his warning about the scribes. They love a show of religion. They love to collect money. They do sit in the chair of Moses. Therefore, obey them. Honor their position. But there is no way you can respect them. And then finally, concluding the whole area, this whole teaching, is the story of the widow's little mite. That ends this, and then the whole next section, which we won't do, we'll start in St. Matthew, is the eschatological discourse, the discourse on the end of all things. And their total transformation by fire. Fire of love, physical fire. Well, if we're around, we'll see. And then the passion. So today we have this one about authority. This challenges us, my friends. We're all willing to say, of course, Jesus' authority comes from the Almighty Father. Of course we are. In fact, because he's the eternal Son of God. In fact, most of us would be okay if we had to give our lives in defense of that, if it came to that. But what do we do day by day? Do we respect his authority? We are a disobedient people. Day by day by day, in these Gospels, in our own prayer, he instructs us. And do we obey him? Every one of us in this chapel right now knows something. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is asking of you. And are you doing it? See, that's the question. So let's just take a moment and pray and ask the Lord, what do you want of me right now? Is in your mercy, you guide me, you command me, you lead me to eternal life and to union with you already in this world. What is it that you want of me? I want to obey. So let's just take a moment.